Chapter 10. The patron was sitting at one of his tables on the terrace of the longhouse with a bottle of wine, a glass, and an empty coffee cup, reading the Éclaireur de Nice, when the blue car came up in a rush on the gravel, and Catherine and David got out and came walking down the flagstones to the terrace. He had not expected them back so soon, and he was nearly asleep, but he stood up and said the first thing that came in his head as they were opposite him.
Madame et Monsieur ont fait décolorer les cheveux. C'est bien. Merci, Monsieur. On le fait toujours dans le mois d'août. C'est bien. C'est très bien.
That's nice, said Catherine to David. We're good clients. What the good client does is très bien. You're très bien. My God, you are. In their room, a good sailing breeze was blowing in from the sea, and the room was cold. I love that blue shirt, David said. Stand there like that in it. It's the color of the car, she said. Would it look nicer without a skirt? Everything on you looks nicer without a skirt, he said. I'm going out and see that old goat and be an even better client. He came back with a bucket of ice and a bottle of the champagne that the proprietor had ordered for them and that they had drunk so seldom, and he held two glasses on a small tray in his other hand. This ought to be fair warning for them, he said.
We didn't need it, Catherine said.
We can just try it. It won't take 15 minutes to cool.
Don't tease. Please come to bed and let me see you and feel you.
She was taking his shirt up over his head, and he stood up and helped her. After she was asleep, David got up and looked at himself in the bathroom mirror. He picked up a brush and brushed his hair. There was no other way to brush it but the way it had been cut. It would disarrange and muss, but it had to fall that way, and the color was the same as Catherine's. He went to the door and looked at her on the bed. Then he came back and picked up her big hand mirror. So that's how it is, he said to himself. You've done that to your hair and had it cut the same as your girl's, and how do you feel? He asked the mirror.
How do you feel?
Say it.
You like it, he said.
He looked at the mirror, and it was someone else, he saw, but it was less strange now.
All right. You like it, he said. Now go through with the rest of it, whatever it is. And don't ever say anyone tempted you, or that anyone bitched you.
He looked at the face that was no longer strange to him at all, but was his face now, and said,
You like it. Remember that. Keep that straight. You know exactly how you look now and how you are.
Of course, he did not know exactly how he was, but he made an effort aided by what he had seen in the mirror. They ate dinner on the terrace in front of the long house that night and were very excited and quiet and enjoyed looking at each other in the shaded light on the table. After dinner, Catherine said to the boy who had brought their coffee,
Find the pail for the champagne in our room, and ice, a new bottle, please.
Do we want another? David asked.
I think so. Don't you?
Sure.
You don't have to.
Do you want a fiend?
No, I'd rather drink the wine. Do you have to work tomorrow?
We'll see.
Please work if you feel like it.
And tonight?
We'll see about tonight. It's been such an arduous day.
In the night it was very dark, and the wind had risen, and they could hear it in the pines.
David?
Yes?
How are you, girl?
I'm fine.
Let me feel your hair, girl. Who cut it? Was it Jean?
It's so full and has so much body, and it's the same as mine.
Let me kiss you, girl. Oh, you have lovely lips. Shut your eyes, girl.
He did not shut his eyes, but it was dark in the room. And outside, the wind was high in the trees.
You know, it isn't so easy to be a girl if you're really one, if you really feel things.
I know.
Nobody knows. I tell you so, and you're my girl. It's not that you're insatiable. I'm satiable so easily. It's just some feel and others don't. People lie about it, I think. But it's so nice just to feel and hold you. I'm so happy. Just be my girl and love me the way I love you. Love me more. the way you can now. You now, yes, you. Please, you.
They were dropping down the slope toward Khan, and the wind was heavy as they came onto the plain and skirted the deserted beaches, the tall grass bending and flattening as they crossed the bridge over the river and picked up speed on the last stretch of fast road before the town. David found the bottle, which was cold and wrapped in a towel, and took a long drink and felt the car leave the work behind and move away and up the small rise the black road was making. He had not worked this morning, and now when she had driven them through the town and back into the country, he uncorked the bottle and drank again and offered it to her.
I don't need it, Catherine said. I feel too good.
Very well. They passed Golf Juan with the good bistro and the small open bar, and then were through the pine woods and moving along the raw yellow beach of Juan-le-Pin. They crossed the small peninsula on the fast black road and passed through Antibes, driving beside the railway, and then out through the town and beyond the port and the square tower of the old defenses, and came out again into open country.
It never lasts, she said. I always eat that stretch too fast.
They stopped and ate lunch in the lee of an old stone wall that was part of the ruin of some building hard by the side of a clear stream that came out of the mountains and crossed the wild plain on its way to the sea. The wind came hard out of a funnel in the mountains. They had spread a blanket on the ground, and they sat close together against the wall and looked out across the waste country to the sea that was flat and scoured by the wind.
It wasn't much of a place to come to, Catherine said. I don't know what I thought it would be like.
They stood up and looked up at the hills with their poised villages and the gray and purple mountains behind. The wind whipped in their hair, and Catherine pointed out a road that she had once driven into the high country.
We could have gone somewhere up in there, she said. But it's so closed in and picturesque. I hate those hanging villages.
This is a good place, David said. It's a fine stream, and we couldn't have a better wall.
You're being nice. You don't have to be.
It's a good lee, and I like the place. We'll turn our back on all the picturesque. They ate stuffed eggs, roast chicken, pickles, fresh long bread that they broke in pieces and spread Savora mustard on, and they drank rosé.
Do you feel good now? Catherine asked.
Sure.
And you haven't felt bad?
No.
Not even about anything I said?
David took a drink of the wine and said, No, I haven't thought about it. She stood up and looked into the wind so that it blew her sweater against her breasts and whipped her hair, and then she looked down at him with her black brown face and smiled. She turned around then and looked out toward the sea that was flattened and wrinkled by the wind.
Let's go get the papers in Khan and read them in the cafe, she said.
You want to show off?
Why shouldn't I? It's the first time we've been out together. Do you mind if we do?
No, devil. Why would I?
I didn't want to if you didn't.
You said you wanted to.
I want to do what you want. I can't be more compliant than that, can I?
Nobody wants you to be compliant.
Can we stop it? All I wanted to be was good today. Why spoil everything?
Let's clean up here and go.
Where?
Anywhere. The goddamn cafe. They bought the papers in Khan, and a new French Vogue, the Chasseur Français, and the Miroir des Sports, and sat at a table in front of the café out of the wind, and read, and had their drinks, and were friends again. David drank Haig Pinch Bottle in Perrier, and Catherine had Armagnac in Perrier. Two girls who had driven up and parked on the street came over to the café and sat down, and ordered a Chambéry Cassis and a Finalot. It was the beauty of the two who took the brandy and soda.
Who are those two? Catherine said. Do you know?
I've never seen them.
I have. They must live around here somewhere. I saw them in Nice.
The one girl's handsome, David said. She has fine legs, too.
They're sisters, Catherine said. They're both nice-looking, really.
But the one's a beauty. They're not Americans. The two girls were arguing, and Catherine said to David,
It's a big row, I think.
How did you know they were sisters?
I thought they were in Nice. Now I'm not sure. The car has Swiss plates.
It's an old Asada. Should we wait and see what happens? We haven't seen any drama for a long time.
I think it's just a big Italian row.
It must be getting serious because it's quieter.
It will flare up.
The one is a damned handsome girl.
Yes, she is.
And here she comes over.
David stood up.
I'm sorry, the girl said in English. Please forgive me. Please sit down, she said to David.
Will you sit down?
Catherine asked.
I shouldn't. My friend is furious with me, but I told her you would understand. You will forgive me?
Should we forgive her?
Catherine said to David.
Let's forgive her.
I knew you would understand, the girl said. It's only to tell me where you had your hair cut.
She blushed.
Or is it like copying a dress?
My friend said it was more offensive.
I'll write it down for you, Catherine said.
I'm very ashamed, the girl said.
You're not offended?
Of course not, Catherine said.
Would you have a drink with us?
I shouldn't.
May I ask my friend?
She went back to her table for a moment, and there was a short and vicious, low-pitched exchange.
My friend regrets very much, but she cannot come over, the girl said. But I hope we will meet again. You have been so very kind.
How about that? Catherine said when the girl had gone back to her friend.
For on a windy day.
She'll be back to ask where you had your slacks cut.
The row was still going on at the other table. Then the two of them stood up and came over.
May I present my friend, the...
I am Nina.
Our name is Bjorn, David said.
How very pleasant of you to join us.
You were very nice to let us come over,
the handsome one said.
It was an impudent thing to do.
She blushed.
It's very flattering, Catherine said.
But he's a very good coiffeur.
He must be, the handsome one said.
She had a breathless way of speaking, and she blushed again.
We saw you in Nice, she said to Catherine. I wanted to speak to you then. I mean ask you.
She can't blush again, David thought. But she did.
Who's going to have their hair cut? Catherine asked.
I am,
the handsome one said.
I am too, stupid,
Nina said.
You said you weren't.
I changed my mind.
I really am, the handsome one said.
We must go now.
Do you come here to this cafe?
Sometimes, Catherine said.
I hope we'll see you sometime then, the handsome one said. Goodbye and thank you for being so gracious.
The two girls went to their table and Nina called the waiter and they paid and were gone.
They're not Italian, David said.
The one is nice, but she could make you nervous blushing.
She's in love with you.
Sure. She saw me in Nice.
Well, I can't help it if she is with me.
It isn't the first girl that ever was, and a lot of good it did them.
How about Nina?
That bitch, Catherine said.
She was a wolf.
I suppose it should be amusing.
I didn't think it was amusing, Catherine said. I thought it was sad.
So did I.
We'll find another cafe, she said. They're gone now anyway.
They were spooky.
I know, she said. For me too. But the one girl was nice. She had beautiful eyes, did you see?
She was an awful blusher, though.
I liked her. Didn't you?
I suppose so.
People that can't blush are worthless.
Nina blushed once, David said.
I could be awfully rude to Nina.
It wouldn't touch her.
No, she's well armored.
Do you want another drink before we go home?
I don't need one, but you have one.
I don't need one.
Have another. You usually have two in the evening. I'll take a small one to keep company.
No, let's go home.
In the night he woke and heard the wind high and wild and turned and pulled the sheet over his shoulder and shut his eyes again. He felt her breathing and shut his eyes again. He felt her breathing softly and regularly, and then he went back to sleep.
Chapter 11. It was the second day of the wind, and it had not slackened. He left the ongoing narrative of their journey where it was to write a story that had come to him 4 or 5 days before and had been developing, probably, he thought, in the last 2 nights while he had slept. He knew it was bad to interrupt any work he was engaged in, but he felt confident and sure of how well he was going. and he thought he could leave the longer narrative and write the story which he believed he must write now or lose. The story started with no difficulty, as a story does when it is ready to be written, and he got past the middle of it, and he knew he should break off and leave it until the next day. If he could not keep away from it after he had taken a break, he would drive through and finish it. But he hoped he could keep away from it and hit it fresh the next day. It was a good story, and now he remembered how long he had intended to write it. The story had not come to him in the past few days. His memory had been inaccurate in that. It was the necessity to write it that had come to him. He knew how the story ended now. He had always known the wind and sand-scoured bones, but they were gone now, and he was inventing all of it. It was all true now because it happened to him as he wrote, and only its bones were dead and scattered and behind him. It started now with the evil in the Shamba, and he had to write it, and he was very well into it. He was tired and happy from his work when he found Catherine's note that she had not wanted to disturb him, had gone out and would be back for lunch. He left the room and ordered breakfast, and as he waited for it, Monsieur Aurol, the proprietor, came in and they spoke about the weather. Monsieur Aurol said the wind came this way sometimes. It was not a true mistral. The season guaranteed that. But it would probably blow for 3 days. The weather was insane now. Monsieur had undoubtedly noticed that. If anyone kept track of it, they would know that it had not been normal since the war. David said he had not been able to keep track of it because he had been traveling, but there was no doubt that the weather was strange. Not only the weather, said Monsieur Aurol, everything was changed, and what was not changed was changing fast. It might very well all be for the best, and he, for one, did not oppose it. Monsieur, as a man of the world, probably saw it in the same way. Undoubtedly, said David, seeking for a decisive and terminal idiocy, it was necessary to review the cadre. Precisely, said Monsieur Aurol. They left it at that, and David finished his café crème and read the Miroir des Sports, and began to miss Catherine. He went into the room and found Far Away and Long Ago, and came out onto the terrace and settled himself in the sun by the table, out of the wind, to read the lovely book. Catherine had sent to Galliani's in Paris for the Dent edition for a present for him, and when the books had come, they made him feel truly rich. The figures in his bank balances, the franc and dollar accounts, had, ever since Gros du Roi, seemed completely unreal, and he had never considered them as actual money. But the books of W. H. Hudson had made him feel rich, and when he told Catherine this, she was very pleased. After he had read an hour, he started to miss Catherine very badly, and he found the boy who served at table and asked him to bring a whiskey and Perrier. Later he had another. It was well past lunch when he heard the car come up the hill. They came along the walk, and he heard their voices. They were excited and happy. Then the girl was suddenly silent, and Catherine said, "Look who I brought to see you." "Please, I know I should not have come," the girl said. It was the dark, handsome one of the two they had met at the café yesterday, the one who blushed. "How are you?" David said. She had evidently been to the coiffeur's, and her hair had been cropped short the way Catherine's had been at Biarritz. "I see you found the place." The girl blushed and looked at Catherine for courage. "Look at her," Catherine said. "Come muss her head up." "Oh, Catherine," the girl said. Then she said to David, "You can if you want." "Don't be frightened," he said. "What do you think you've got into?"
"I don't know," she said. "I'm just so happy to be here."
"Where have you two been?" David asked Catherine.
"Jean's, of course. Then we stopped and had a drink, and I asked Marita if she'd come to lunch. Aren't you glad to see us?"
"I'm delighted. Will you have another drink?"
"Would you make martinis?" Catherine asked.
"One won't hurt you," she said to the girl.
"No, please. I have to drive."
"Do you want a sherry?"
"No, please."
David went behind the bar and found glasses and some ice and made two martinis.
"I'll taste yours if I may," the girl said to him. "You're not afraid of him now, are you?" Catherine asked her. "Not at all," the girl said.
She blushed again.
"It tastes very good, but terribly strong."
"They are strong," David said. "But there's a strong wind today, and we drink according to the wind."
"Oh," said the girl. "Do all Americans do that?"
"Only the oldest families," Catherine said.
Us, the Morgans, the Woolworths, the Jelkses, the Jukeses, you know.
It's rugged in the blizzards and in hurricane months, David said. Sometimes I wonder if we'll get through the autumnal equinox.
I'd like to have one sometime when I didn't have to drive, the girl said.
You don't have to drink because we do, Catherine said. And don't mind that we make jokes all the time. Look at her, David. Aren't you glad I brought her?
I love it that you make jokes, the girl said. You must forgive me that I'm so happy to be here.
You were nice to come, David said. When they were at lunch in the dining room out of the wind, David asked, What about your friend Nina?
She's gone away.
She was handsome, David said.
Yes. We had a very big fight and she went away.
She was a bitch, Catherine said.
But then I think almost everyone is a bitch. Usually they are, the girl said. I always hope not, but they are.
I know plenty of women who aren't bitches, David said.
Yes, you would, the girl said.
Was Nina happy? Catherine asked.
I hope she would be happy, the girl said. Happiness in intelligent people is the rarest thing I know.
You haven't had such a long time to find out about it.
If you make mistakes, you find out faster, the girl said.
You've been happy all morning, Catherine said. We had a wonderful time.
You don't need to tell me, the girl said, and I'm happier now than I can remember ever.
Later, over salad, David asked the girl, Are you staying far from here along the coast?
I don't think I'm staying.
Really? That's too bad, he said, and felt the tension come to the table and draw taut as a hawser. He looked from the girl with her eyelashes down so they touched her cheeks to Catherine, and she looked at him very straight and said,
She was going back to Paris, and I said, Why not stay here if Aurore has a room?
Come on up to lunch and see if David likes you and if you like the place.
David, do you like her?
It's not a club, David said. It's a hotel. Catherine looked away and he moved fast to help her, going on as though it had not been stated. We like you very much, and I'm sure Aurore has a room. He should be delighted to have someone else here. The girl sat at the table with her eyes down.
I think I'd better not.
Please stay a few days, Catherine said. David and I would both love to have you. I've no one here to keep me company while he works. We'd have good times the way we did this morning. Tell her, David.
The hell with her, David thought. Fuck her. Don't be silly, he said. Call Monsieur Aurore, please, he told the boy who served. We'll find out about a room.
You won't mind, truly? The girl asked.
We wouldn't have asked you if we minded, David said. We like you, and you're very decorative.
I'll be useful if I can, the girl said. I hope I'll find out how to be.
Be happy the way you were when you came in, David told her. That's useful.
I am now, the girl said. I wish I'd taken the martini now that I don't have to drive.
You can have one tonight, Catherine said.
That would be lovely. Can we go and see the rooms now and get it over with?
David had driven her down to retrieve the big old Asada convertible and her bags from where the car had been parked in front of the cafe in Cannes. On the way, she said,
Your wife is wonderful and I'm in love with her.
She was sitting beside him and David did not look to see if she blushed.
I'm in love with her too, he said.
I'm in love with you also, she said. Is that all right?
He dropped his arm and closed his hand on her shoulder and she leaned close against him. We'll have to see about that, he said.
I'm glad. I'm smaller.
Smaller than who?
Catherine, she said.
That's a hell of a thing to say, he said.
I mean, I thought you might like someone of my size. Or do you only care for tall girls?
Catherine's not a tall girl.
Of course not. I only meant that I was not as tall.
Yes, and you're very dark, too.
Yes. We'll look well together.
Who will?
Catherine and I, and you and I.
We'll have to.
What does that mean?
I mean, we can't escape looking well together, can we? If we look well and we are together.
We're together now.
No. He was driving with only one hand on the wheel, leaning back and looking up the road ahead at the juncture with the N7. She had put her hand on him. We're just riding in the same car, he said.
But I can feel that you like me.
Yes, I am very reliable that way, but it doesn't mean a thing.
It does mean something.
Just what it says.
It's a very nice thing to say, she said, and did not say anything more, nor take her hand away until they had turned at the boulevard and pulled up behind the old Asada Fraschini parked in front of the cafe under the old trees. Then she had smiled at him and got out of the small blue car. Now, at the hotel in the pines that were still being blown by the wind, David and Catherine were alone in their room after she finally came in from settling the girl in the two rooms that she had taken. I think she'll be comfortable, Catherine said. Of course, the best room beside our own is the one at the far end where you work. And I'm going to keep it, David said. I'm going damn well, and I won't change my workroom for an imported bitch. Why are you being so violent? Catherine said. No one asked you to give it up. I just said it was the best. But the two next door to it work out very well. Who is this girl anyway? Don't be so violent. She's a nice girl and I like her. I know it was unforgivable to bring her up without speaking to you, and I'm sorry. But I did it and it's done. I thought you'd like to have someone pleasant and attractive for me to have as a friend to go around with while you're working. I do if you want someone. I didn't want someone. I just ran into someone that I liked and I thought you would like, and it would be pleasant for her to be here for a little while. But who is she? I haven't examined her papers. You interrogate her if you need to. Well, she's decorative at least. But whose girl is she? Don't be rough. She's nobody's. Tell me straight. All right? She's in love with us both, unless I'm crazy. You're not crazy. Not yet, maybe. So what's the drill? I wouldn't know, Catherine said. I wouldn't either. It's sort of strange and fun. I wouldn't know, David said. Do you want to go to swim? We missed it yesterday. Let's swim. Should we ask her? It would only be polite. We'd have to wear suits. It wouldn't matter with this wind. It's no day to be on the sand to tan. I hate to wear suits with you. Me too. But maybe tomorrow the wind will be over. Then on the Estorel Road, with David driving the big old Asada, feeling and condemning the two sudden breaks, and finding how badly the motor needed to be worked over, the three of them sat together and Catherine said, There are two or three different coves where we swim without suits when we're alone. That's the only way to get really dark. It's not a good day to tan, David said. It's too windy. We can swim, though, without suits if you like, Catherine said to the girl. If David doesn't mind, it might be fun. I'd love to, the girl said. Do you mind? She asked David. In the evening, David made martinis and the girl said, Is everything always as wonderful as it has been today? It's been a pleasant day, David said. Catherine had not yet come out from their room, and he and the girl were sitting in front of the small bar Monsieur Oro had installed the previous winter in the corner of the big Provençal room. When I drink, I want to say things I should never say, the girl said. Then don't say them. Then what's the use of drinking? It isn't these. You've only had one. Were you embarrassed when we swam? No. Should I have been? No, she said. I loved to see you. That's good, he said. How's the martini? It's very strong, but I like it. Did you and Catherine never swim before like that with anyone? No. Why should we? I'll get really brown. I'm sure you will. Would you rather I was not so deeply brown? You're a nice color. Get that color all over if you like. I thought perhaps you'd like one of your girls lighter than the other. You're not my girl. I am, she said. I told you before. You don't blush anymore. I got over it when we went bathing. I hope I won't now for a long time. That's why I said everything, to get over it. That's why I told you. You look nice in that cashmere sweater, David said. Catherine said we'd both wear them. You don't dislike me because I told you. I forgot what you told me. That I love you. Don't talk rot. Don't you believe it happens to people like that, the way it happened to me about you two? You don't fall in love with two people at once. You don't know, she said. It's rot, he said. It's just a way of talking. It isn't at all. It's true. You just think it is. It's nonsense. All right, she said. It's nonsense. But I'm here.
Yes, you're here, he said. He was watching Catherine as she crossed the room, smiling and happy.
Hello, swimmers, she said. Oh, what a shame. I didn't get to see Marita have her first martini.
This is still it, the girl said.
How did it affect her, David?
Made her talk rot.
We'll start with a fresh one.
Weren't you good to resuscitate this bar? It's such a sort of tentative bar.
We'll get a mirror for it. A bar's no good without a mirror.
We can get one tomorrow, the girl said. I'd like to get it.
Don't be rich, Catherine said. We'll both get it, and then we can all see each other when we talk rot and know how rotty it is. You can't fool a bar mirror.
It's when I start looking quizzical in one that I know I've lost, David said.
You never lose.
How can you lose with two girls? Catherine said.
I tried to tell him, the girl said, and blushed for the first time that evening.
She's your girl, and I'm your girl, Catherine said. Now stop being stuffy and be nice to your girls. Don't you like the way they look? I'm the very fair one you married.
You're darker and fairer than the one I married.
So are you, and I brought you a dark girl for a present. Don't you like your present?
I like my present very much.
How do you like your future?
I don't know about my future.
It isn't a dark future, is it?
The girl asked. Very good, Catherine said. She's not only beautiful and rich and healthy and affectionate, she can make jokes.
Aren't you pleased with what I brought you?
I'd rather be a dark present than a dark future, the girl said.
She did it again, Catherine said. Give her a kiss, David, and make her a fair present.
David put his arm around the girl and kissed her, and she started to kiss him and turned her head away. Then she was crying with her head down and both hands holding the bar.
Make a good joke now, David said to Catherine. I'm all right, the girl said. Don't look at me. I'm all right.
Catherine put her arm around her and kissed her and stroked her head.
I'll be all right, the girl said. Please, I know I'll be all right.
I'm so sorry, Catherine said.
Let me go, please, the girl said. I have to go.
Well, David said when the girl was gone and Catherine had come back to the bar.
You don't need to say it, Catherine said. I'm sorry, David.
She'll be back.
You don't think it's all a fake now, do you?
They were real tears, if that's what you mean.
Don't be stupid. You aren't stupid.
I kissed her very carefully.
Yes, on the mouth.
Where did you expect me to kiss her?
You were all right. I haven't criticized you.
I'm glad you didn't ask me to kiss her when we were at the beach.
I thought of it, Catherine said.
She laughed, and it was like the old days before anyone had mixed in their life.
Did you think I was going to?
I thought you were, so I dove in.
Good thing you did.
They laughed again.
Well, we've cheered up, Catherine said.
Thank God, David said. I love you, devil, and really I didn't kiss her to make all that.
You don't have to tell me, Catherine said. I saw you.
It was a miserable effort. I wish she'd go away.
Don't be heartless, Catherine said. And I did encourage her.
I tried not to.
I egged her on about you. I'll go out and find her.
No, wait a little while. She's too sure of herself.
How can you say that, David? You just broke her all up.
I did not.
Well, something did. I'm going to go and get her.
But it wasn't necessary because the girl came back to the bar where they were standing and blushed and said,
I'm sorry.
Her face was washed and she had brushed her hair and she came up to David and kissed him on the mouth very quickly and said,
I like my present.
Did someone take my drink?
I threw it out, Catherine said.
David will make a new one. I hope you still like having two girls, she said. Because I am yours and I am going to be Catherine's too.
I don't go in for girls, Catherine said.
It was very quiet, and her voice did not sound right either to herself or to David.
Don't you ever?
I never have.
I can be your girl if you ever want one, and David's too.
Don't you think that's sort of a vast undertaking? Catherine asked.
That's why I came here, the girl said. I thought that was what you wanted.
I've never had a girl, Catherine said.
I'm so stupid, the girl said. I didn't know. Is it true? You're not making fun of me.
I'm not making fun of you.
I don't know how I could be so stupid, the girl said.
She means mistaken, David thought, and Catherine thought it too. That night in bed, Catherine said,
I never should have let you in for any of it, not for any part of it.
I wish we'd never seen her.
It might have been something worse. Maybe to go through with it and get rid of it that way is best.
You could send her away.
I don't think that's the way to clear it now.
Doesn't she do anything to you?
Oh, sure.
I knew she did. But I love you, and all this is nothing. You know it is, too.
I don't know about it, devil.
Well, we won't be solemn. I can already tell it's death if you're solemn.
Chapter 12. It was the third day of the wind, but it was not as heavy now, and he sat at the table and read the story over from the start to where he had left off, correcting as he read. He went on with the story, living in it and nowhere else, and when he heard the voices of the two girls outside, he did not listen. When they went by the window, he lifted his hand and waved. They waved, and the dark girl smiled, and Catherine put her fingers to her lips. The girl looked very pretty in the morning, her face shining and her color high. Catherine was beautiful as always. He heard the car start and noted it was the Bugatti. He went back into the story. It was a good story, and he finished it shortly before noon. It was too late to have breakfast, and he was tired after working, and did not want to drive the old Isada into town with its bad brakes and huge malfunctioning motor, although the key was with a note Catherine had left saying they had gone to Nice and would look in at the cafe for him on their way home. What I would like, he thought, is a tall cold liter of beer in a thick heavy glass and a Pall Mall wheel with coarse ground peppercorns on it. But the beer on this coast was worthless, and he thought happily of Paris and other places he had been, and was pleased he had written something he knew was good and that he had finished it. This was the first writing he had finished since they were married. Finishing is what you have to do, he thought. If you don't finish, nothing is worth a damn. Tomorrow I'll pick up the narrative where I left it and keep right on until I finish it. And how are you going to finish it? How are you going to finish it now? As soon as he started to think beyond his work, everything that he had locked out by the work came back to him. He thought of the night before and of Catherine and the girl today on the road that he and Catherine had driven 2 days before, and he felt sick. They should be on the way back now. It's afternoon. Maybe they're at the cafe. Don't be solemn, she had said. But she meant something else, too. Maybe she knows what she's doing. Maybe she knows how it can turn out. Maybe she does know. You don't. So you worked, and now you worry. You'd better write another story. Write the hardest one there is to write that you know. Go ahead and do that. You have to last yourself if you're to be any good to her. What good have you been to her? Plenty, he said. No, not plenty. Plenty means enough. Go ahead and start the new one tomorrow. The hell with tomorrow. What a way to be. Tomorrow. Go in and start it now. He put the note and the key in his pocket and went back into the workroom and sat down and wrote the first paragraph of the new story that he had always put off writing since he had known what a story was. He wrote it in simple declarative sentences with all the problems ahead to be lived through and made to come alive. The very beginning was written and all he had to do was go on. That's all, he said. You see how simple what you cannot do is? Then he came out onto the terrace and sat down and ordered a whiskey and Perrier. The proprietor's young nephew brought the bottles and ice and a glass from the bar and said, Monsieur had no breakfast.
I worked too long.
C'est dommage, the boy said. Can I bring anything? A sandwich?
In our storeroom you will find a tin of Maquereau Vin Blanc Capitaine Cook. Open it up and bring me two on a plate.
They won't be cold.
It makes no difference. Bring them.
He sat and ate the Maquereau Vin Blanc and drank the whiskey and mineral water. It did make a difference that they were not cold. He read the morning paper while he ate. We always ate fresh fish at Le Gros du Roi, he thought, but that was a long time ago. He started to remember Gros du Roi, and then he heard the car coming up the hill. "Take this away," he said to the boy, and he stood up and walked into the bar and poured himself a whiskey, put ice in it, and filled the glass with Perrier. The taste of the wine-spiced fish was in his mouth, and he picked up the bottle of mineral water and drank from it. He heard their voices, and then they came in the door as happy and gay as yesterday. He saw Catherine's birch-bright head and her dark face loving and excited, and the other girl dark, the wind still in her hair, her eyes very bright, and then suddenly shy again as she came closer.
"We didn't stop when we saw you weren't at the cafe," Catherine said.
"I worked late. How are you, devil?"
"I'm very well.
Don't ask me how this one is."
"Did you work well, David?"
the girl asked.
"That's being a good wife," Catherine said. "I forgot to ask."
"What did you do in Nice?"
"Can we have a drink and then tell?"
They were close to him on each side, and he felt them both.
"Did you work well, David?"
she asked again.
"Of course he did," Catherine said. "That's the only way he ever works, stupid." "Did you, David?"
"Yes," he said, and rumpled her head. "Thanks."
"Don't we get a drink?"
Catherine asked. "We didn't work at all. We just bought things and ordered things and made scandal."
"We didn't make any real scandal."
"I don't know," Catherine said.
"I don't care either."
"What was the scandal?" David asked.
"It wasn't anything," the girl said.
"I didn't mind it," Catherine said. "I liked it.
Someone said something about her slacks in Nice."
"That's not a scandal," David said. "It's a big town. You had to expect that if you went there."
"Do I look any different?" Catherine asked. "I wish they'd brought the mirror. Do I look any different to you?"
"No." David looked at her. She looked very blonde and disheveled and darker than ever and very excited and defiant.
"That's good," she said, "because I tried it." "You didn't do anything," the girl said. "I did, and I liked it, and I want another drink." "She didn't do anything, David," the girl said. "This morning I stopped the car on a long, clear stretch and kissed her, and she kissed me, and on the way back from Nice, too, and when we got out of the car just now."
Catherine looked at him lovingly but rebelliously and then said,
"It was fun and I liked it. You kiss her, too. The boy's not here."
David turned to the girl and she clung to him suddenly and they kissed. He had not meant to kiss her, and he had not known it would be like this when he did it.
"That's enough," Catherine said.
"How are you?" David said to the girl. She was shy and happy again.
"I'm happy the way you said to be,"
the girl told him.
"Everybody is happy now," Catherine said. "We've shared all the guilt."
They had a very good lunch and drank cold Tavel through the hors d'oeuvres, the poulet and the ratatouille, the salad and the fruit and cheese. They were all hungry and they made jokes and no one was solemn.
"There's a terrific surprise for dinner or before," Catherine said. "She spends money like a drunken Orleans Indian, David."
"Are they nice?" the girl asked.
"Or are they like Maharajas?"
"David will tell you about them. He comes from Oklahoma."
"I thought he came from East Africa."
"No. Some of his ancestors escaped from Oklahoma and took him to East Africa when he was very young."
"It must have been very exciting."
"He wrote a novel about being in East Africa when he was a boy."
"I know."
"You read it?" David asked her.
"I did," she said. "Do you want to ask me about it?"
"No," he said. "I'm familiar with it."
"It made me cry," the girl said. "Was that your father in it?"
"Some ways."
"You must have loved him very much."
"I did."
"You never talked to me about him," Catherine said.
"You never asked me."
"Would you have?"
"No," he said.
"I loved the book," the girl said.
"Don't overreach," Catherine said.
"I wasn't."
"When you kissed him."
"You asked me to."
"What I wanted to say when you interrupted," Catherine said, "was did you think of him as a writer when you kissed him and liked it so much?" David poured a glass of Tavel and drank some of it.
"I don't know," the girl said. "I didn't think."
"I'm glad," Catherine said. "I was afraid it was going to be like the clippings." The girl looked really mystified, and Catherine explained.
"The press cuttings about the second book. He's written two, you know. I only read The Rift.
The second one is about flying, in the war. It's the only good thing anyone ever wrote about flying." Balls, David said.
Wait until you read it, Catherine said. It's a book you had to die to write, and you had to be completely destroyed. Don't ever think I don't know about his books just because I don't think he's a writer when I kiss him.
I think we ought to take a siesta, David said.
You ought to take a nap, devil. You're tired.
I talked too much, Catherine said. It was a nice lunch, and I'm sorry if I talked too much and boasted.
I loved you when you talked about the books, the girl said. You were admirable.
I don't feel admirable. I am tired, Catherine said. Have you plenty to read, Marita?
I have two books still, the girl said. Later I'll borrow some if I may.
May I come in and see you later?
If you want, the girl said.
David did not look at the girl, and she did not look at him.
I won't disturb you, Catherine said.
Nothing that I do is important, the girl said.
Catherine and David lay side by side on their bed in the room with the wind blowing its last day outside, and it was not like siesta in the old days.
Can I tell you now?
I'd rather skip it.
No, let me tell. This morning when I started the car, I was frightened, and I tried to drive very well, and I felt hollow inside. Then I could see Khan up ahead on the hill, and the road was clear all up ahead by the sea. And I looked behind, and it was clear, and I pulled out from the road into the brush, where it's like the sagebrush. I kissed her, and she kissed me. And we sat in the car, and I felt very strange. And then we drove into Nice, and I don't know whether people could tell it or not. I didn't care by then, and we went everywhere and bought everything. She loves to buy things. Someone made a rude remark, but it was nothing, really. Then we stopped on the way home, and she said it was better if I was her girl, and I said I didn't care either way. And really, I was glad because I am a girl now, anyway, and I didn't know what to do. I never felt so not knowing, ever. But she's nice, and she wanted to help me, I think. I don't know. Anyway, she was nice, and I was driving, and she was so pretty and happy, and she was just gentle, the way we are sometimes, or me to you, or either of us. And I said I couldn't drive if she did that, so we stopped. I only kissed her, but I know it happened with me. So we were there for a while, and then I drove straight home. I kissed her before we came in, and we were happy, and I liked it. And I still like it.
So now you've done it, David said carefully. And you're through with it.
But I'm not. I liked it, and I'm going to really do it.
No, you don't have to.
I do, and I'm going to do it until I'm through with it and I'm over it.
Who says you'll be over it?
I do. But I really have to, David. I didn't know I'd ever be like this.
He did not say anything.
I'll be back, she said. I know I'll get over it as well as I know anything. Please trust me.
He did not say anything.
She's waiting for me. Didn't you hear me ask her? It's like stopping in the middle of anything.
I'm going up to Paris, David said. You can reach me through the bank.
No, she said. No, you have to help me.
I can't help you.
You can. You can't go away. I couldn't stand it if you went away. I don't want to be with her. It's only something that I have to do. Can't you understand? Please understand. You always understand.
Not this part.
Please try. You always understood before. You know you did. Everything, didn't you?
Yes, before.
It started with us, and there'll only be us when I get this finished. I'm not in love with anyone else.
Don't do it.
I have to. Ever since I went to school, all I ever had was chances to do it, and people wanting to do it with me. And I never would and never did. But now I have to.
He said nothing.
Please know how it is.
He did not say anything.
Anyway, she's in love with you, and you can have her and wash everything away that way.
You're talking crazy, devil.
I know it, she said. I'll stop. Take a nap, he said. Just lie close and quiet and we'll both go to sleep. I love you so, she said. And you're my true partner the way I told her. I've told her too much about you, but that's all she likes to talk about. I'm quiet now, so I'm going to go.
No, don't.
Yes, she said. You wait for me. I won't be very long.
When she came back to the room, David was not there, and she stood a long time and looked at the bed, and then went to the bathroom door and opened it and stood and looked in the long mirror. Her face had no expression, and she looked at herself from her head down to her feet with no expression on her face at all. The light was nearly gone when she went into the bathroom and shut the door behind her. Chapter 13. David drove up from Cannes in the dusk. The wind had fallen, and he left the car in the usual place and walked up the path to where the light came out onto the patio in the garden. Marita came out of the doorway and walked toward him.
"Catherine feels terribly," she said. "Please be kind to her."
"The hell with both of you," David said.
"With me, yes, but not with her. You mustn't, David."
"Don't tell me what I must and what I mustn't."
"Don't you want to take care of her?"
"Not particularly."
"I do."
"You certainly have."
"Don't be a fool," she said. "You're not a fool. I tell you this is serious."
"Where is she?"
"In there, waiting for you."
David went in the door. Catherine was sitting at the empty bar.
"Hello," she said. "They didn't bring the mirror."
"Hello, devil," he said. "I'm sorry I was late." He was shocked at the dead way she looked and at her toneless voice.
"I thought you'd gone away," she said.
"Didn't you see I hadn't taken anything?"
"I didn't look." "You wouldn't need to take anything to go away."
"No," David said. "I just went into town."
"Oh," she said, and looked at the wall.
"The wind's dropping," he said. "It will be a good day tomorrow."
"I don't care about tomorrow."
"Sure you do."
"No, I don't. Don't ask me to."
"I won't ask you to," he said. "Have you had a drink?"
"No."
"I'll make one."
"It won't do any good."
"It might. We're still us." He was making the drink, and she watched him mechanically as he stirred and then poured into the glasses.
"Put in the garlic olive," she said.
He handed her one of the glasses and lifted his and touched it against hers. "Here's to us." She poured her glass out on the bar and looked at it flow along the wood. Then she picked up the olive and put it in her mouth.
"There isn't any us," she said.
"Not anymore." David took a handkerchief out of his pocket and wiped the bar and made another drink.
"It's all shit," Catherine said.
David handed her the drink and she looked at it, and then poured it on the bar. David mopped it up again and wrung out his handkerchief. Then he drank his own martini and made two more. "This one you drink," he said. "Just drink it."
"Just drink," she said.
She lifted the glass and said, "Here's to you and your goddamn handkerchief." She drank the glass off and then held it, looking at it, and David was sure that she was going to throw it in his face. Then she put it down and picked the garlic olive out of it and ate it very carefully and handed David the pit.
"Semi-precious stone," she said.
"Put it in your pocket.
I'll have another one if you'll make it.
But drink this one slowly."
"Oh, I'm quite all right now," Catherine said. "You probably won't notice the difference. I'm sure it happens to everybody."
"Do you feel better?"
"Much better, really. You just lose something and it's gone, that's all. All we lose was all that we had. But we get some more. There's no problem, is there?"
"Are you hungry?"
"No, but I'm sure everything will be all right. You said it would, didn't you?"
"Of course it will."
"I wish I could remember what it was we lost. But it doesn't matter, does it? You said it didn't matter."
"No."
"Then let's be cheerful. It's just gone, whatever it was."
"It must have been something we forgot," he said. "We'll find it."
"I did something, I know. But it's gone now."
"That's good."
"It wasn't anyone else's fault, whatever it was."
"Don't talk about faults."
"I know what it was now," she smiled. "But I wasn't unfaithful, really, David. How could I be? I couldn't be, you know that. How could you say I was? Why did you say it?"
"You weren't."
"Of course I wasn't. I wish you hadn't said it, though."
"I didn't say it, devil."
"Somebody did, but I wasn't. I just did what I said I'd do. Where's Marita?"
"She's in her room, I think."
"I'm glad I'm all right again."
Once you took it back, I was all right. I wish it was you had done it so I could take it back about you. We're us again, aren't we? I didn't kill it.
No. She smiled again.
That's good. I'll go and get her. Do you mind? She was worried about me before you came back.
She was?
I talked a lot, Catherine said. I always talk too much. She's awfully nice, David, if you knew her. She was very good to me.
The hell with her.
No, you took all that back, remember? I don't want to have all that again, do you? It's too confusing, truly.
All right, bring her. She'll be glad to see you're feeling good again.
I know she will, and you must make her feel good, too.
Sure. Does she feel badly?
Only when I did, when I knew I was unfaithful. I never was before, you know. You go and bring her, David. Then she won't feel bad. No, don't bother, I'll go.
Catherine went out the door and David watched her go. Her movements were less mechanical and her voice was better. When she came back, she was smiling and her voice was almost natural.
She's coming in just a minute, she said. She's lovely, David. I'm so glad you brought her.
The girl came in and David said, "We were waiting for you." She looked at him and looked away. Then she looked back at him and held herself very straight and said,
"I'm sorry to be late."
"You look very handsome," David said, and it was quite true, but she had the saddest eyes he had ever seen.
"Make her a drink, please, David. I had two," Catherine said to the girl. "I'm glad you feel better," the girl said.
"David made me feel good again," Catherine said.
"I told him all about everything and how lovely it was, and he understands perfectly. He really approves."
The girl looked at David and he saw the way her teeth bit her upper lip and what she said to him with her eyes. "It was dull in town. I missed the swimming," he said.
"You don't know what you missed," Catherine said. "You missed everything. It was what I wanted to do all my life, and now I've done it, and I loved it."
The girl was looking down at her glass.
"The most wonderful thing is that I feel so grown up now. But it's exhausting. Of course, it's what I wanted, and now I've done it, and I know I'm just an apprentice, but I won't always be."
"Apprentice allowance claimed," David said, and took a chance then and said very cheerfully, "Don't you ever talk on any other subjects? Perversion's dull and old-fashioned. I didn't know people like us even kept up on it."
"I suppose it's only really interesting the first time one does it," Catherine said.
"And then only to the person who does it and a bloody bore to everyone else," David said. "Do you agree, heiress?"
"Do you call her heiress?" Catherine asked. "That's a nice, funny name."
"I can't very well call her ma'am or highness," David said. "Do you agree, heiress, about perversion?"
"I always thought it was overrated and silly," she said. "It's only something girls do because they have nothing better."
"But one's first time at anything is interesting," Catherine said. "Yes," David said. "But would you want to always talk about your first ride at Steeplechase Park, or how you yourself personally soloed alone all by yourself in a plane absolutely away from the earth and up in the sky?"
"I'm ashamed," Catherine said. "Look at me and see if I'm not ashamed."
David put his arm around her.
"Don't be ashamed," he said. "Just remember how you'd like to hear old Eris here recall how she went up in that plane. Just herself in that plane, and there was nothing between her and the earth. Imagine the earth, with a big E, but just her plane, and they might have been killed and smashed to horrible bits, both of them, and she lose her money and her health and her sanity and her life with a capital L and her loved ones, or me or you or Jesus, all with capital letters, if she crashed, put the word crashed in quotes."
"Did you ever solo, Eris?"
"No," the girl said. "I don't have to now, but I would like another drink." "I love you, David."
"Kiss her again the way you did before," Catherine said. "Sometime," David said. "I'm making drinks."
"I'm so glad we're all friends again and everything is fine," Catherine said.
She was very animated now and her voice was natural and almost relaxed.
"I forgot about the surprise that Eris brought this morning. I'll go and get it."
When Catherine was gone, the girl took David's hand and held it very tight and then kissed it. They sat and looked at each other. She touched his hand with her fingers almost absent-mindedly. She curled her fingers around his and then released them.
We don't need to talk, she said. You don't want me to make a speech, do you?
No, but we have to talk sometime.
Would you like me to go away?
You'd be smarter to go away.
Would you kiss me so I know that it is all right if I stay?
Catherine had come in now with the young waiter who carried a large tin of caviar and a bowl of ice on a tray with a plate of toast. That was a wonderful kiss, she said. Everyone saw it, so there's no longer any fear of scandal or anything, Catherine said.
They're cutting up some egg whites and some onion.
It was very large, firm, gray caviar, and Catherine dipped it onto the pieces of thin toast.
Eris bought you a case of Bollinger Brut 1915, and there is some iced. Don't you think we should drink a bottle with this?
Sure, said David. Let's have it all through the meal.
Isn't it lucky Eris and I are rich, so you'll never have anything to worry about? We'll take good care of him, won't we, Eris? We must try very hard, the girl said. I'm trying to study his needs. This was all we could find for today.
This ends Disc 3.